Okay, welcome everyone for the first question and answer session. Many of you have been taken part, so therefore not necessary to give an introduction. We are taking whatever may be feel relevant to our practice and our way of life. We're going to discuss the sense of a question and answers where a discussion. So, in a suitable question or statement or any topic available, I cordially invite for the sake of a discussion.
Well, in my practice, especially now, in my practice, I've tried eliminating as much, like, useless chatter in my mind and trying to empty out as much as possible to a point where my mind becomes, like, empty of thought, in a sense. And I was wondering how that nothingness correlates with the fact that it intertwines with everything in your philosophy as well. You understand?
So the question is that explaining the way that you are trying to eliminate all the chatter and then try to go into the empty mind or a space.
Yeah.
And how can we evaluate this situation? Now I have a course question, if you allow me to ask you. Who is deciding that mind is free now? Who is deciding this mind is empty now?
It's like a silence in which you feel at one with everything while being nothing at the same time.
So that when the mind is my argument is mind is the very one telling that it is chattering. Mind is the very one it is now silent.
It's a mental world, but it's also a spiritual awareness.
So if that is spiritual and kind of thing, you are the very first person going to feel its emptiness or restrictional way. So then what is the question? Why you are raising the question?
I want to know in all the why, in all of the teachings, when you attain this, like that worldly connection. You understand the materialistic viewpoint of, what's the word I'm searching for here? Where your attachment to this material world, it begins to fade. And in that, you begin to view the world in a more organic sense, in an energetic sense. And so I know that that's a key principle of Buddhism. And so, with your experience, I was just hoping to draw from that.
Yeah, that leaving aside any ism or Buddhism like that, my complaint is that this is yet another mind state. So therefore, you are not escaped. You are still in a dream. The mind is telling that it is empty. And earlier, the mind is the one it is telling it was busy or chattering. So, if that is the question, I would say it is a very deep question, it's a spiritual question. Otherwise, you are conditioning your mind, and for the moment, you are in a good dream, and you are telling good. At a moment, again, that dream gone, again, you are falling back to the same, how do you call this, chattering mind. Mm. And if you have any kind of a mastery, if you wish, you can go to the chattering mind, if you wish, you can be in the silent, then I would say you are better off. There is no such a mastery. It's a kind of an accident. It's a kind of a coincidence. But anyway, you are better off because you know there is one state of mind which is full of thoughts and it is more spacious and more clear than this fictional way. So, whatever may be the method if you are going to follow, whatever may be the formula you are going to follow is to take the situation from the control. whenever necessary, you can go to that, or you can come to know that mind is chattering. Whenever necessary, you can come to that mind. I can bring it from there to here, spacious mind, least frictional mind. So, what is the methodology that, if I ask you, that you are using to take the situation under control? Essentially, what is the way?
You're asking how do I balance?
How do you go for, whenever the chattering mind you come to know, how do you start from here and go to the silence mind?
Well, I try, it's a difficult discipline, but as I go through my day, I try and eliminate all of the useless thoughts or words and idle chatter that I have with as many people as possible and try to remain silent, you know? But there's always times where indeed the thoughts do become overwhelming and things in life occur, and so you have to think about them. But I always try consciously to make an effort to minimize the white noise, if you will, the constant talking in the background of your thoughts, you know? And to be open, kind of as a receiver for what is, you know, to be open to the energy of the universe.
Okay, that is I accept it, but I'm asking the methodology, how do you go from chattering mind to the silence mind? You can control, you can monitor it.
Yeah, just awareness of your thoughts, constant monitoring.
So that is that awareness is the method that you are coming out, that you know when the chattering mind is there, it is chattering mind. By just being aware that you can have a pathway to open into the space or the non-chattering state.
So it's both. It's best to have both. So you mean to say that. Is it the harm understanding, right?
Yeah, that any method that I am going to exploit, any method that is going to help recognition or diagnosis of the very chattering mind, it's exhausting, it is anxiety, it is irritation and kind of thing. And from here to the space mind or inner space we call, or least frictional way, that I would say it's a kind of a spiritual. That's what the way it is religious. But the Buddha coming out and says, so a very understanding of this chattering mind, and you know that is first and foremost. The diagnosis. It's a temporary state. Mind is chattering and exhausting when the coming from the birth ends, and anxiety. So they are the person comes to know it is a very tiring, exhausting, and then wants to go there. So understanding the diagnosis is the first and foremost. After diagnosis, the Buddha says, you have to replace this chattering mind with one single object, a neutral one, a neutral, verifiable, gross object. And then the Buddha says there are the five objects, the materiality, the corporeality, the body, the verifiability. Second thing is feelings, another kind of feeling, and the perception, the volitional action, or the mind itself. So they are ordered in a gross to the subtlety.
Okay.
So therefore, whenever someone comes to know that mind is chattering and it's exhausting and it is tiring and anxiety kind of thing, the Buddha come out and say, it's just mere by recognition itself, it is not going to go to the silent space. You better focus on one particular neutral physical object. That is to say, in the instruction we mentioned in the morning, you just sit there, focus that is on your symmetrical, balanced, relaxed mind, body. That means that keep the mind here, now I am sitting. That you are focusing on your whole body, it's a big object. So it's a big space for the mind to come and rest. But the concept is here and now. So bring it back to the here and now. Of course, understanding and diagnosis itself is a radical invite to come here and now. Understanding you are chattering. Understanding you are in an exhausting way itself is a radical way to give option to the here and now. Many people can't do it. In that sense, you have to replace it with the physical body. When the mind becomes subtle, you can replace it with the breath body. And when the breath becomes calmed out, from gross to the subtlety, naturally you go to a better situation where you have a good control. But still you have to say you are calming down to the physical. When it goes there, many people are going to experience uncomfortability. They feel monotonous, they feel sleepy, they feel going beyond their familiarity. So therefore, a lot of mental cases are there, that is, you can understand their mentality. If the mentality is not sound enough, they can't cope up just like a plane is going to the end of the runway, now it is going to take off. And there you feel kind of a uncertainty, unbalance, because now the balance is going to take on the air rather than on the soil.
Right.
So therefore, those who have, if they are, someone is having any moral imbalance, or physical imbalance, or mental imbalance, they can't take off. Healthy, or they can't take it up. So then they have to understand that that is because they are moral background is not good enough, or integrity is not good enough, physical health is not good enough, mental health is not good enough. Those who have this, all that they are confidence enough and good backing, then they can go there and see the subtlety of the material. And that means you are going away, for example, going from the gravitational space sphere to the non-gravitational area, they are this, everything won't stay like this, everything going to flow.
Right, it's free.
So that you have to develop, your pilot has to be an astronaut. So this is the most important part in the meditation, that you are mastering the material. But still this is not the end of it, that is just the beginning. You are given a chance to go from the gravitational heavy sphere to the day, and you have to balance it and master it, and then the hell of feelings going to happen. The pleasurable, sometimes pleasurable, because you feel light and the lightness of the body. Sometimes you feel disoriented, deranged. You can't make the orientation, and therefore some people are going to go through agony. So there the feelings will become very prominent when and where the materiality becomes subtle. So it is a challenge for that person. And you have to go through the feelings. And the Buddha says, unless otherwise you are very taught and prepared, you are jumping from pleasurable feeling to painful feeling. But when you are balancing, maturity, you are going to know, in between the pain and pleasure, there is a neutral feeling. No pain, no pleasure. And without going through that, you can't go from pain to pleasure. So there, when you are mastering the pain and pleasure in an experimental basis, not in an inflicting basis, not in a subjective basis, then you understand each time it is going through a black hole. So you have to master the black hole. Then you can understand 90% of the time, we are in the black hole, but we don't know because our mind is so obsessed with the pressure-seeking game.
Yes.
But we are, as far as you are going to go on the pressure, ending up with the pain. That is the ambiguity of the world. So you are jumping from the pain to pressure, you miss the bus. Yes. So when you are mastering only, you come to know no pain, no pressure situation. When and where the mind go to the no pain, no pressure situation, you are losing your communication capacity. You can't talk with other. You can't communicate that state. Well, that is not in the worldly way. World knows only the pain and pleasure. Our language, our grammar, our communication, all the information technology is based upon these two extremes. When you come to the middle, you feel dumbfounded. You can talk with the teacher. You can understand what the mind says. You can understand what the heart is telling. So they are... At the rate, at a time, you have to sacrifice your body and the life if you wish to master this perception.
Wow.
That is the point for the first time your heart and the brain going to get the superconductivity because you are cut off from the world now. Not only the materiality, even the pleasure seeking you. So mind becomes fully introvert and then this communication going to take place, you see it is by itself is contented, by itself is saturated, but so far you were completely outwardly. You never given full-fledged and unhindered attention to the within. It need not any communication, and that is what the young children are entertaining. They are fully within. They need not anything external, unless otherwise parents come and corrupt them. Parents have to say, you are not satisfied, you are not gained this and that, otherwise they are by itself is content. So our mind is going to the child cycle.
If I understand correctly, what you just told me is the way to pretty much banish the illusion and to understand the nature of reality.
And not to doubt whether you are in hallucination or not. All the time you have to have the approach to the materiality where you can verify. And once it calms down, the physicality, the feeling is going to come. And they are also completely mental world. That you can feel it, but once you go through the pleasure and pain, under the no pain, no pleasure, you are reaching a perception which is not a common perception. You are not dead, you are not sleeping, you are not fainted. Right. But that perception you can't communicate.
Yeah. You're conscious of everything.
Yeah. And therefore, you feel you are sending you mad. You have to go completely prepared, either with the faith on the Buddha or whatever may be you be, faith upon your own perception, the moral ground, and the faith upon the path you came from the ghost to the subtlety, then only you can do experimenting with full-fledged. He is the only scientist, I am telling, experimenting at that level, not the scientist outside.
Right.
Outside scientists are completely paralyzed. They are completely biased. But when you come there, if you can go, then you can understand how the mental proliferations are going on, applications are going on, mental formations are going on. As far as the uncertainty is there, you are searching outside, you feel something, vacuum inside, so therefore you are experimenting, productivity going on because you are not contented. The moment you understand, without anything you are contented, no more novelty, no more research, no more creativity, no more productivity.
So just satisfaction.
Here and now you are satisfied. Under such circumstances, consciousness have no any function, it has to deny. Without the consciousness, game can run, everything can be run. So that's as a feeling, perception, mental formation, that these things slowly, slowly become faded off. So if you are believing upon them, as they faded off, you feel like lost. You feel like the outcast. You feel like lost out of the faith, the base. So therefore, not only the going through the different stages as the meditation progress, but the acceptance of that, is a self-denial.
Austerity, like losing the ego.
Ego is completely shattering. And your comparison with other people, the conceit has to forego. And the crazy and craving nature to the creativity, the productivity, you have to answer, understands as a cancer. It's a symptom of cancer. So then when you come inwardly, you be fully fledged here and now. So therefore, that is, I would say, a very silent mind. Because it can't communicate. There is no necessity for communication. Communication means extrovert.
Right.
So that is the point, not chattering. I mean, in the deeper sense. But if you go and meditate, you will understand, we are most of the time, our mind is in non-chattering mood, but we feel uncomfortable. So therefore, we feel like telephone. listening to radio, go to the television, see a novel, go for a picnic, and go for carnivals, because you feel something lacking whenever the mind at home. But in the meditation, you are slowly, slowly training according to the alignment of the concentration and the mindfulness, the at-home situation, mind at home. The definition for at home is here and now, present moment. But our mind is so much time, sometimes unknown things, it has been extrovert. So our extrovert situation has become at home. Ultimately, you have to understand when the mind comes and rests, that is at home. So, such a difference in our values and in our likings and dislikings. If it is going to happen at once, you will run mad. Definitely, you will run mad. It has to happen slowly, slowly. Seasons, it will go there, come back. Again, you go there, it will come back. So, that is what the meditator means. This acclimatization between this disoriented situation and well-oriented situation. At the beginning, you feel the calm and quiet mind as disoriented. This chattering mind as very well-based, well-oriented. Ultimately, your whole values have to change. Thinking is such a wastage. You're such a burning the candle from above the ends. And instead, why not go to this here and now situation? So, it's a radical reflection itself. But not only that, when it is happening, letting it happen by its own accord, without walking your fingers, without going to analyze it with the rational mind, without letting the mind to come and overtake, is an art. Even though this explanation is scientific, it's an art. So there are 1001 times you have to see the crafty mind to come and play. And mind you, tell the mind your own business. I am observant. I am mindful. I am vigilant. So you play hell. So therefore, even as a yogi, you have to let the mind to play hell, same kinds. But you have the distance observation, observant. These are the consequences, these are the advantages, like the full panoramic thing happen. That is, you have to observe with the choiceless awareness. To observe with an unreactional way, and to observe with an unassumed way. So I think that is the most aesthetic thing in the world.
Yeah, wow, thank you so much. That's basically you.
Definitely, because you are so corrupted. More the corrupted, so much time it's got there, you have to go home. Your corruption is related to your age sometimes. Because younger children are so nice. They are so uncorrupted, unpolluted, just like flowers. They have no perception. They don't know the good and the bad. They don't know the right and wrong. But they are simply 100% innocent. But when and when they are going to assume that I am a boy, I am a girl, I am blah, blah, blah. So they know where the arrogance starts. They know where no upmanship starts. They know the assuming of self starts. And the endless desire, creativity, productivity, and society, the information technology, and the advertisement are pushing us like slaves. You have to declare war. This advertising world, declare war with the information technology, declare war with the fashions and all the kind of things, right now. You have a limited amount of time and energy, so therefore, do it conservative way, again, cut through and come back, go there and come back. It's earlier the better, if you can start the experiment, earlier the better.
Yes.
Because you have energy, you have time, go ahead. So that in the discussion, this process, we are there. That is what normally in the discourses we find, how the Buddha coming out for different character types. How to start the point where you are, first do the feasibility study, who am I, and then see the tentacles where I can get hooked up, at least on the theoretical basis. You never can recognize them as tentacles, because they have the thing you have already developed with all the creativity and the productivity. understand their negative values by the light of the Buddha, and then slowly, slowly see in your deductive knowledge, is it correct or wrong? The day you recognize within yourself only your energy, your striving will start with the resolute faith, till that you have a second-hand kind of faith. But that means, first and foremost, you have to diagnose the problem. For that, the Buddha helped in two ways, giving the theoretical knowledge and giving hints to the deductive knowledge. Once you diagnose only, you really engage in the problem, engage in the fight. Till that it is superficial, till that you are going to satisfy outsiders. Once you recognize only, your own base and need come to you.
Okay, thanks. It just happens naturally, being observed, vigilant.
So once you diagnose the problem, it is natural unfolding. It is natural. Till that only you have to strive. You have to study, you have to do everything, and it is painfully slow. Conceiving so much of energy, endless like at the beginning it appeared like. But once you understand, diagnose the problem, it's just like solving the mathematics. Once you recognize the question, it's just a matter of writing the stages for the examiner to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before working out, you must understand the you must recognize the question. So we are very, very lacking in understanding or recognizing the question, we are rushing to answers, rushing for remedies. The Buddha says, look at the problem in a radical way, go back to the root. Answer is there, not outside, not with the formulas, not with any medicine, nothing. Answer lies in the question. So it is kind of a radical way against the grain. Rational way has to come up, and then instead of observation is the only method. Mindfulness means knowing kind of formally bringing back to the understand the basis, understanding the strata, understand the canvas rather than the diagram or the system.
Okay, your question. When I do the meditation and calming the body, my pain also subsides. They also calm down. But then still I have thoughts, recurring thoughts and everything. But after some time, maybe after about another 30-40 minutes, I get some pains back. Is it normal?
When pain occurring for the second time, as you mentioned, do you have the still the connection to the primary object?
Sometimes when my mind is calm, I don't have connection. But when I get my breath back again, I try to focus with the primary object.
That primary object is not what I asked. Now you complain after a while the pain starts. My question is, when that pain happens, are you still have the connection or accessibility to the primary object or you are completely carried down by the pain?
Yeah, completely carried down. It's on and off. Sometimes I do get it, but I try to concentrate, so I go with the primary object at that time. Then it is still, it's okay for about 5 minutes, but still that pain keep on coming.
That is the thing, you have to get more witness on the spot. As far as the pain is there, at the view of the primary object, it's a sign of improvement. As far as the pain is going to take you for a ride and no chance for the primary object, is a kind of a weakness in your mindfulness. So therefore, when that happens, instead of running, rushing to a decision, you have to understand when the pain arises, still can I have the breath or the whole body, the materiality. If you have the access, then you can understand the pain is there, primary object is here. As in primary is more prominent, pain is background. Sometimes pain is here and you can still feel the primary. That means you can see through the pain and see the primary.
Yes.
And if that is happening, that is a very good state. Yeah, now you are going to understand the Buddha himself is asking to see the primary object into all the possible facets.
Mm-hmm.
You see the facet, primary object is close and the distraction. The secondary object is powerful. At a time, the secondary object comes and really painful, distracting and excruciating. But still you can see the primary. So that's the primary object, close and far away facet. And sometimes, primary object is here, but it's quite undesirable. Not very loved, that you don't feel happy. But still the pain is problematic. Primary object is there, you can see. But it's undesirable for you. It is there, then what kind of thing? Sometimes you feel the primary object is pleasing. It's very desirable. And the pain is undesirable. Like primary object has many liking and disliking, desirable and undesirable patterns. So in order to have that kind of a different facet, you have to put the primary object quite with yet another one. Otherwise, it won't show all the facets. So here, in this case, the pain. So, when you are keep on practicing, a thought can happen, a pain can happen, a sound can happen, all the kind of things. When it is happening, don't rush to get rid of the secondary object. Don't develop any antagonism, no reaction. Just see, while this is playing this thing, can I have the access to the primary object? So, that way you are considering this object, secondary object, is a neutral way. Not to get rid of that. No any antagonism. This way the antagonism is the food for the secondary object to become aggravated. You just observe, see the relationship with the primary. Whenever you go further and further, you will see not a single thought moment in the awakened mind without pains. All the time pains are there. As far as the mind is connected with the primary object, they become background. All the time you have thoughts. All the time you have peripheral sounds. But when that sound and the thought and pain go to be a primary object, it's a completely a neutral, the impromptu thing. So therefore, let them give you your chance. Don't say that my mind, my meditation should not be distracted by sound. Maybe distracted, never mind. Sounds can come, never mind. Thoughts can come, never mind. Just see their perspectives. When they are pointing, you can see they have different ways. One become prominent, other become secondary, one become something else. So therefore, whenever the second dimension that I would like to add is, when the mind become calm down, specifically the mindfulness and the concentration come online, it become very sensitive. So even the small pains amplify. Specifically, you feel the crawling sensations of the skin. The water crawling, or leeches are going, or ants crawling, and specifically these places going to get tingling sensations. Earlobes and the finger. That means these are the nervous ends. Usually they are giving signals to say that I am living. But our mind is so distracted, they won't reach. In the mind become calm and quiet, all the signals become prominent. But the teacher says, this kind of signals, this kind of feelings never become unbearable. They are never unbearable, but due to the sensitivity of your mind, they become amplified. And under such circumstances, you get the proper judgment. What you have to do is, don't direct tackle with the pain, the sound and the thought, just see the connection with the breath. And when you are observing, you can understand it is due to very prominency of the pain or due to the subtlety of your mind. If it is a subtlety of the mind, it's a sign of progress. If it is the prominency of the pain and the distraction, that is your mind, it's not much progress. So therefore, without rushing to attention, you have to analyze the situation. Specifically, if the breath is settling down, calming down, that indicates you are bound to get more pains, you are bound to get more thoughts, you are bound to get more sounds. But it's definitely a good sign. If there is no such a thing, no pain, no sound, no thought, you will fall asleep. It's a much dangerous, I mean, it's lost. So these things are keeping at least you vigilated and active. So therefore, all the things are kind of acid tests. Way to understand, and the main way, or the main way out is go prepared. One or the other may come, but don't get agitated, don't get worked up, just analyze it, that's it. And when you are looking at, you see, more and more you expose to the situation, you become more immune, you become more equanimous and hardened, even in the day-to-day activities, whenever something comes and cross you, don't immediately react. Just understand the situation, take your stand, and then you have enough tools and you have enough patience to attack it. But immediately you are going to react, no one can help. So most of the people, the heart attacks and everything is happening because they become panic. And then no one can help. But if you are prepared and make your mind harden, you take it easy. Exactly the same is training here, not to carry the way by the vicissitudes of the words. So that means you must not rush, you must not jump into the secondary. Consider its good qualities. Due to this primary object, secondary object, I can see the connection with the primary. I can see that the mind has been sharpened, that is why it comes. So these things will never come as far as you are reacting. And not only that, sometimes the other side happens. The pressure comes. Sometimes the lightness appears. Light appears. Sometimes you can foresee something. You can hear past lives. Or relatives and all the things can happen. Everything you have to consider in a distance way. Don't get carried away. Good and the bad both work in the same way. So you must always expect these things to happen when the mind becomes subtle, but don't try to interpret quickly. Let it happen again and again, and ultimately you develop kind of control. So that's why it says that the patience leads to the part. Going to react. But the thing is, when these things are happening, many get excited. Like if you view a negative way, that is what we call interviews. In the interviews, we are presenting our experience and then come to a conclusion how to tackle that kind of thing till we get our master.
Another question. When you are focusing on the breath, sometimes the mind seems... When you are focusing on the breath, sometimes the mind for a few seconds or so seems to go into a blank sort of state. Maybe for a few seconds or 1 or 2 minutes. Is it a kind of trance without any graduate or some sort of artificial thing, or is it something that is really taking you in the right direction towards purification or enlightenment?
So the situation is that in the meditation, nothing electric. Everything happening in a gradual way. If you are not mindful, everything you appear like you are falling into sleep or everything, this thing happened, that thing happened. But if you can thin slice of the time, in this world there is nothing electric. Nothing happening quickly. Everything has sequence. So next, when this kind of happens, you have to go prepare next day to experience it in the gradual way. How this blank space you come and does it happen in a gradual order or all of a sudden. In order to master it, you must not deal with the blank. Instead, you must deal very closely with your primary object. Primary object is a materiality, breath. So, how the breath is becoming? With it is becoming there. Chronologically becomes subtle and subtle, or become more attractive, more gross. Read the primary object. Primary object, if in the healthy way, if it is becoming subtle and subtle, then you can predict how it is going to go to the silence. In that case, you can go prepare. So therefore, when such a thing happens, don't worry about the outcome. Just see your primary object. Master the primary object. Knowing that it is undergoing some changes, don't let anything go beyond your light of mindfulness. awareness, see that gradually, then you will understand that it's a good progress. Because your sharpness increases, as the one person put it, says thin slicing of time. You are not consider time as a gross chunk. You try to see milliseconds how the breath becomes subtle. Sometimes maybe within one breath, sometimes maybe number of breath cycles. So my clue is, my hint is, under such circumstances, see the end of out-breath. If you have to follow the out-breath to the last drop, tail end, there you can telescope all the kind of thing, understand that calming down itself explains the cross middle of the out-breath and the subtle tapering off is a kind of a cross-section of your whole city. Cross to the subtle. So when you are understanding and mastering of the positivity, you are, when the positivity becomes subtle and subtle, you can be prepared for the next moment where mind comes to the blank. And comes to the, then you can understand it is something artificial or hallucination or whether it is a space developed because of the sucking and becoming calming down of the breath. So with my teacher, he's answering questions like that, he says, only one way, next day go prepare. Go prepare to think twice the time. Master in a very, very sensitive way. Then you then appear to be, it's a good sign. Once you mastered only, you can have the results of it. Otherwise, always you are doubting yourself. Because that you are mastered, you are not observing very clearly the calming down process.
One question, you said as you progress, the earth of creativity, things like that will lessen. Is that what will happen in a practical life? Now, this modern life and practical life, people who are not productive and creative will fall back in their work performance, academic performance, and so on. Parents always putting their children to do well. Now, when we recommend this kind of practice to others, they can ask, will it not make people lack initiative to be successful in a practical modern world so that they can initiative to exert themselves in the material world, in the productive world. If it declines, will they be failures or that sort of concern can be there? Can be there.
Definitely, that is the way they criticize thinking that mindfulness and the religious and spiritual things are backward. They are putting people into they are concerned only for themselves. They are not thinking about the society, or they are not productive and creative, all the kind of things. But more and more you go to the here and now situation, you are exploring more and more of your potential. Even though it is not manifested in that particular or this way, more and more you become mindful here and now, you only not developing the scientific part, you are developing the aesthetic part also. In the science, you are paralyzed, you never let the mind to go to the aesthetic part. No, the beauty of the life is on the science. But when the mind comes to the mindfulness situation come at home, it is a balanced mind, not to the rational mind, but to the emotional mind also. Not to the aesthetic mind, but the scientific mind also. So this balance is the only one ultimately. Of course, that if you are more biased to the science and less aesthetic, no problem, you can get money. But you yourself, when you fast 40s, you feel the life is imbalanced. It's so much of money and rational thinking, no peace at heart. So therefore, when you are coming back, at the beginning you feel like regression back, but it is leading more towards the balanced way. The old ways our mind is split, the two sides are there. If the aesthetic part is too much, the science will happen. If the scientific part is too much, the aesthetic part is not working. Rational mind and emotional mind. So when both to happen, once in a way you have to go at home and see whether they are balanced. Otherwise, all the genius people, they are not happily living. You have to ask the genius people's character certificate from his wife. They are denying, I need a man, not a genius, they say. They are not human.
So, going in the path of mindfulness, a person can still be successful, be able to hold his own in a society, in his job and profession and so on, successfully while at the same time developing his inner life as an ordinary.
You may see when the mindfulness is catching, you feel like isolation. You feel like go to a park and do meditation, right? You have to understand it by a metamorphosis of a butterfly. At the beginning, butterfly is an egg, and then it becomes a caterpillar, who raises its feeder. Then it has to undergo the cocoon. In the cocoon, no connection, no air, no respiration. And after the cocoon, the coming out, not the worm going out, coming out of the butterfly. This transformation, that how to call this, metamorphosis, happening within the cocoon. And once you come out, it's a full-fledged butterfly. So if you are criticizing about the time between in the cocoon, you cannot be a butterfly. No, life cycle is not complete. So each and every person has their own time, taken time, and they do it within the laboratory or within their meditation hall or whatever. At that time, yes, at that time you have to cut off. We are asking you to not to talk. Eat one or two meals on a day. Don't go for the third meal. Don't go for socialization. No drama, nothing. And that is the point it is taking place. So therefore, you have to wait. It is a metamorphosis. At a metamorphosis, one stage is there. Definitely, you have to. Some people it is long, some people it is short. So those people thinking about the go-go show and carnival, they say that period in the metamorphosis is as a lost. That they have to argue and say, if it is not undergoing this part, the butterfly never come out.
So a child growing up in the proper tradition, doing these practices, they will still be able to be do well academically and be successful in the worldly life too. There is no problem about that.
Uh-huh. I am an example. And myself is an example. I am a bloody idiot. Up to the age number 24, so, I'm brought up in a family of 11 members. So, we play hell. I'm not academically advanced person. Some of the other, I have to say, I managed to go into the university because at that time, it was, selection was 100% district basis. So, therefore, I came from Kandy. Kandy is a worst performance. So, somehow that I got a chance to go to university. I never thought that I am such an academic. In the second day, I found all nonsense. The university life, the academic career, everything appeared to be complete camouflage nonsense. And then luckily I met one of the monks. He told, it's good, no problem, be mindful. So my problem was, I am not a religious person. I am not a person with precepts. So mindfulness, I thought, is a high caliber business. So how can it be? So no. Mindfulness is a human problem. To start. So more and more I became very flat with my study. Then I told once I become studying, I will be present with the white collar job. I hate it. Because I know the aim in the outside. But anyway, he told, don't worry, you carry on. But ultimately I got my MSc, I went to my job. And I was the chief executive. My boss was so happy with my performance. All the time what I did was, be here and now. And all the equipment brings. In 1984, he bought me a computer. And I just wanted to do my PhD. But anyway, due to mindfulness, I dropped it because thinking it's a wastage of time. One day he was a Norwegian person and looking at my English sketching. And my forest correspondence, and business, labor management, security, everything is catching. So he was fostering me like a child, he saw. So one day he put the white clothes, removed his shoes, and came to me and sit on the ground there, asked me, tell me what is the secret of your life. So I don't know how to explain it. The only thing I am doing is to wholehearted whatever I have been. One thing at a time and that and then. Then I told, I can't explain it. But this is, he was not much happy. But he told, I am admiring. You won't believe in this potential. Specialization means it's cutting down from the world. If you have to look into the microscope, you have to close the other eye. And when you are looking at the tiny thing, you are completely cut off to the world. Otherwise, you can't see the tiny thing. Tiny thing means a blind. You have to make you blind to the observing the little thing. Worldly knowledge is completely paralyzed. Unless otherwise you know that you are specializing a small part. Therefore, it's called the basic BS is bullshit. MS means more shit. PhD means pile deep and high. you become know about nothing. PhD people talking about nonsense. They don't know the life. They are lost to the life and they are professing big thing in the blackboard and the rooms. No related to their life. So therefore you have to understand the life in the balance. Not in the money. Not in the fame. And not in your liking and disliking too. You understand? It must be balanced. In the balancing, once in the way you have to go home. You have to go there and do the account balancing. It is happening only here. Otherwise, you will be thinking about it, your way of thinking. Of course, you will feel that peer group. They will say, yes, yes, physics is the best thing, the physicist will say. Artist will say, arts is the best. But to come to the balance, you must have your fit and way to form. So, mindfulness is such a thing. It's a complicated, called integral spiritual development. Now, can be grasped with the books. It is an integral, it must be integral. Now, only the America is the best in that sense. They understood how much they can spoil the mind by specializing. Specialization of one subject is going mad. Crazy. Otherwise, you cannot be specialized one thing because life is something, it's full of all the patterns. So, integration, comprehensive life is the one that was the one we had before the civilization.
We have to focus on a mind or one thing and we take a breath as a focus. In some traditions or practices, they also people who focus on candlelight, sometimes neutral syllable like Om. What happens to people who go in that direction? What do they ultimately see? Find the same group that Buddha found or are they? Does it lead them to anything useful or what?
No, that is why I question him that he can go to the silence. What is the way he is using? You know that many people find chattering mind is a wastage. It's exhausting, so therefore we have to find a way out. So they are finding many, many ways. As far as you are depending on your outside object, you are sending man. That's what I have to do. If you are sending the mind to your own verifiable existence, you can't go back. As well, the Om can lead to the silence. But that silence is conditioned one. At a time it will be restored. Then you will give a back to it. But if you are using something intrinsic to your life, in the canal way, any time you can give a back. Your candlelight also good. But it is something external. In the Buddha also presented 40 external objects. All we call samatha objects. The virtues of the Buddha. The loving kindness, looking at the corpse, looking at the 32 parts, all are external. But when you come to the vipassana, inside meditation, always it is something verifiable. That is the most important thing that you are taking on object. It is intrinsic to your life, verifiable, so that indicates you are not hallucination. You are not in a hallucination, not in a conditioning of the mind. And therefore the silence you gain is not beyond your control, it is something under your mastery. So therefore, the kāyānupassana, taking part one or the other representative part of your materiality, it appears like something Montessori. But with all this, you can go there. So that the practical side is there. Others are also leading, but halfway.
And breathing is the way, running on the breath is the way. If we die without finishing our job in this direction, we have to be again born as a breathing creature to be able to continue, right? Because breath is so important.
So any creature you know without living, without breathing?
Breath becomes important anyway.
And that any being can't develop the spiritual part, they have to be human. They have to be the full-fledged human. And that he must be morally sound, physically sound, mentally sound. Not for the others. So therefore, you can live halfway. You can die halfway when you are doing almost. You can die halfway when you are working with the candle also. Then you can die halfway while you are doing the breath also. So therefore, this is the only thing in the Kāyānupassana, referring back to your body, that is verifiable. Whenever you go upset, you can go and check it and see it is like a wet stone. You can rub it and see whether it is real gold.
Two more questions. You said that people are not mentally sound or so on. May have problems, go in this path. So how do we recommend this to them? Can we recommend this to them now? What are the way out for them, for such people? People like schizophrenics or people have some problems. Can we help them with this?
As far as insight meditation is concerned, wait till the invitation comes. Don't recommend anyone. This is not something to say. Be careful. If someone comes and asks, you can just talk with him. He has to take the responsibility. Therefore, parents have no responsibility to send the children for meditation. And the teachers have no responsibility to send the disciples to the meditation. Because it is not something a commandment. The particular person has to feel with it. It's a completely different story. Even then you have to tell, you are disqualified, don't come, like you have to keep them. Then only the real person who is wishing and willing come there. So when the Bahya come to the Buddha, he came 27 days walking, only sleeping 3 nights. And came and asked Bhante, please give me. No, this is not the time, I am only Pindapata, don't talk. And second time also he came and told Bhante, please. I feel that you have the truth. Then he told, I told you, I am on my Pindapata, don't come. Then he came and told Bhante, I don't know what time I am going to die. And after making such a history, only the Buddha gave the gist of teaching, exactly after enlightenment he died. Mad cow came and killed him. So that is the way Dharma is not something to sell just like over-the-counter medicine. It's a prescription drug. You have to have the doctor, you have to give the amount, you have to follow the time. Otherwise you can send mad easy. So now in America it has become a business medicine. So then you can't predict what is happening. The candidate himself has to come and produce himself and say, I need it. So that the Buddha says, invitation is very important. Invitation itself indicates that particular person had enough, the sensuous world. Then only he can. Not otherwise. Don't try to impose. You are going to get a 3300 voltage current, not like domestic 230 or 1-1-1. It's very dangerous. In the meditation sphere, specifically dealing with another psychology.
But if that person, such a person, comes and asks for guidance or whatever it is under a teacher, he could still be guided in spite of whatever mental or psychiatric problem he might still have.
That is why last time when I come, I had some that kind of people. They are biased to meditate, but they have the panic attacks and kind of hallucinations and kind of thing. So when I was not much exposed to that, I told meditation can take care of everything. But later I came to know meditation has applicability once the mind come up to a certain strength. So I read an article, Meditation and Medication. So I took a copy and gave in Sri Lanka, telling this, don't take meditation as the sole answer for everything. And some diseases and the mental situation, you have to go for medication. After psychiatry recommended, you can go for meditation. And when I was in Pauk, under the Pauk side, there was one Irish yogi. And when he comes, he has been given the meditation object, but he can't concentrate. And he's a very honest, devoted, and sacrificed everything, but it is not working. So Sayadaw told, his problem is not with the meditation, with the morality. He has to concern about the moral situation, but living here is good for him. Because all the people are good. So he said, but when you come, I am not talking about with you about the morality of concentration, I am talking with you about the inside meditation. So I have to understand, you have to understand that is what the interviews are one to one. So therefore, meditation instructions or kind of thing, very difficult to communicate in dozens or at large. It must be a personal touch. And thousands and others, the communication never takes place. So you can't standardize. Because our individual questions are individual specific. So therefore, we have to be very compassionate. We have to understand each and every human is precious. But each and every human is not cured only by meditation. There are variety of methods that are with the rest, moral training, concentration training, and the wisdom. Before the moral training, generosity. Understanding others' suffering and sharing their thing for the alleviation of their hunger and the kind of thing. And understanding others' suffering, these things are the way the mind becomes sound, ready for healing. After a certain amount only, when the Patachara and others come, the Buddha tackled and when the Kisa Gotami come with the first way, coming with the dead carcass of his body, son's body, he was thinking about how to cure the son, the very first baby. So Buddha said, I can do it. You go and find some mustard seed. In my house, no one has died. So she told, mustard seed is what, if I can secure my child, each and every house she go and ask, please, will you help me to give some mustard seed? The Buddha is asking for the medicine for my child. Yes, yes, I can give. Have there anyone died in your house? What are you talking about? Yesterday my mother died, my father died, kind of thing. The death came into her mind slowly, slowly while searching the mustard seed. The ultimate she came to know this child is dead. Then she threw away the child to the carcass on the carnal ground and then she moved and told, forget about the child. Please cure me. That time only with the gave him.
And when you are trying to go into space, somebody reads books, works only by himself, without any contact with any so-called enlightened person. Will the person be successful? And how about a person who has the help of a teacher or somebody? Is there non-verbal kind of blessing or transmission of something like that, which helps that person specially, apart from lectures and books, in a non-verbal way? Can an enlightened person help another person by blessing or some such non-verbal way in the liberation of the other person?
No blessings. It is just a magic. But the example is that when you are traveling to one place, either you can have a travel guide or you can have a map. Map also a cheap way, but the thing is map won't tell you in the each and every junction which is called the Sisara, correct? You have to trial and do. But if you have a guide, definitely he will not only tell you the correct path, he will tell this is wrong path. So therefore, guide is good but expensive. And therefore, present day you have to substitute each. There are good guided, good books nowadays. For the last 20, 30 years, there are some good books out there. So someday some are very enlightened. So they are written not the money-making business, but to give the honest listing. But if you have a direct touch with the advanced yogi, of course, it's a blessing. Buddha says it's indispensable to have the connection. But it is not a blessing. Don't take it like that. Because if it is so, the Buddha would have helped his own son. Rahul. Rahul has meditated for 15 years. With his morning and evening instructions. He has to do his own. And his ex-wife meditated separately. With his father separate, meditated separately. No one can go and say, ah, you will be meditated. You will be
meditated.
These things are the thing appeared in the Islam or Buddhism and the religion. The Buddha's teaching is not that. It is Buddha said, I can't help you. I have given the instruction. Mind your own business. You do your activity. So when you come to the meditation, you have to separate Buddhism and Buddha Dharma. Islam is always rotating around and never go to the issue. But the Dharma, no beating on the bush. Says directly what you have to do, do it, and after a long practicing only you will going to understand the real benefits of the real practice. It takes time, it's a matter of time.
Buddha said, in Satipatthana Sutta that he has mentioned saying that if you practice for 7 years, that you will. There is a maximum time period given. But from what point that 7 years is?
From the resolute faith. You see that trying and strike. Trying means you are trying with different objects. That is called trying. But striving means you are dead sure this is the object. Yeah. And then onward you are hitting on that. But then you are each and every hit is leading to the target. So it is like a Vegai, Pravegai. Pravegai kira kyaane? Velocity.
Yeah.
Velocity and the speed.
Speed
is unruly. It can anywhere. But the velocity means now it is directed.
Yeah.
So whatever you do.
With the direction.
With the direction. Velocity means energy with direction. So that means it is rigid. But just energy means it is unruly. Do not know it that go there and again come back. So this is resolution. After that, and only the beauty of it is, the day you come to know the proper view, proper foresight, even if you are not enlightened, all the benefits of the enlightenment is with you. You are not beating on the bush then. You know what to do. And if it is not doing, you know you are not doing that correctly.
Yeah.
So therefore you come to know. So all the qualities of the enlightenment you get in the loan basis, not your direct ownership on loan, you are using them. Later you can pay. So that's the most important is to get it correcting your view as well as have a good foresight. What are we doing? All the techniques and other things are trivial. But without techniques and other trivial things, you can't correct your perspectives. The Buddha says that without falling into the wrong views, you are virtuous and have a view, have a foresight. And under such circumstances, your wastage is, your destiny is not wasted. It is in arrowhead formation going forward. And when that is happening, not only you feel the taste of Nibbana, you feel the other people practicing the same. You are trying to come with the good vibrations. And there you get so much of release. All the people are behind the sense pressure and sensuous pressure. But there are some people, while successful in that, they never put that as a priority. They always keep the spiritual thing in front. So whenever you come together with that people, you feel that this is the cross or social way of symptom of progress.
I'm completely new to this, so my first question was, when you meditate, have you ever been able to find out about your past lives?
When the meditation come up to mastery of the materiality, you are given that option. But the meditation master says, don't go about that, then your progress will be cut off.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
When the materiality become mastered, so the materiality to the mentality shift over taking place in a junction. At that junction, time dimension is become expand. Your mind goes to the past and the future projections are going. So that means, and the space dimension. Being here, you can feel others. And the other thing is that by experiencing your mind, you can understand other minds. So it's a relativity. So at that level, the materiality mentality goes. Basically, what happens is boundaries are broken. You don't feel this is me. Now you have a very firm boundary, the skin is the boundary, beyond that, no me, this is me. But when the materiality is formed, that is just like the gravitational force is broken, everything becomes unbounded. And there are the time, space and the self dimension break. And there the mind can go to the past and the future. But that is diluting your concentration. So therefore you are not entertaining, you try to keep still, as far as here. So your concentration is there. So therefore you have to sacrifice, you have to forego these things as byproduct. If you are going to be obsessed with the byproduct, you are losing the main product. So therefore serious meditation master says it's an endowment you are going to get, but don't specialize it. If it is so, you are losing your very momentum. Direction to the nothingness.
But can you see that for a day or two and then go back again?
It is happening. Whatever means to a certain extent, exactly you can say, whether it is with the past life or whatever, maybe the time means something the mind made magic. Time means a kind of a projection. You come to know the hallucination there. The time is something my man made to confirm himself in the present moment. So then the boundary is gone, you understand your ignorance, your stupidity of the yesterday, stupidity of the last life. It is nothing you see other than your own stupidity. Stupidity is the one going, neurosis is the one who followed, not the wisdom. When the wisdom comes, you understand it's a repercussions, it's a turmoil. Due to the misunderstanding and miscalculation, that is what the continuing as the continuum. As far as the knowledge is concerned, it is not limited to time dimension. So if you wish to go to the knowledge and get the shackle of time dimension, don't entertain this kind of past and the future specialization. It's very, very difficult because many can argue it is innocent, spiritual, and religious kind of thing, why not? But only the thing is, at the face of bitter, you must have the ability to give up good. In that sense, humans are so weak.
But then, in that sense, what's the difference between amnesia and having good memory? Because yesterday I watched a program and they have found certain people who can remember years back, the day, the time, was not disappointed, I was amazed with it. But I was thinking that how could we direct the energy to be a more productive rather than trying to show people that, oh, it's amazing, I could remember in 1939 or 1990s, that was the day that had the rain or some kind of battle. I saw that it's useless, but instead, they found out, wow, it was amazing that these people could remember every detail of such a day, by day, by day. I didn't see anything useful, but I was just thinking that, can we direct the energy? Because one of the persons said that some type of frustration, because she found that she lived with a society where people have amnesia. So my question is, okay, I have amnesia. Was that considered bad? Was it considered okay that now I'm trying to just to be with the present moment, trying? So at the same time, I will have to forget something in the past in order to have some new information come to fill in my compartment. So is that considered mother?
I have never participated in this kind of thing. One meditator told, they participated, there was one person who can, whenever you give a day, the the date, the time, he can give the date, day, year, and all the kind of things. So people used to ask that kind of thing, immediately he can tell. And the one meditator asked that today, he can't tell. As far as he is busy with the past, more the past they go, more efficient. Ask them to be here and now, completely lost. Completely lost. You see, specializing one thing is you are blind to the others. So therefore, they are good for the others, but not for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They can talk about us that her birthday, I tell the day, date, and all that, and then you immediately, and everything. But you ask, what is the date today? That only each and every magic has some kind of a darkness, some kind of a black hole. So no magic is the best magic. Here and now, no magic. But that is the truth. But the Buddha said, there is a middle path. So that is why we are always thinking about the yesterday, tomorrow and all that. And we find so enormous magic, enormous hilarious thing. Because it's a hallucination. It's a dream. That when you ask the mind to come here and now, it is lost. It feels perspiring, nauseatic, to keep here and now. So that is the way we have been amusing ourselves, escaping ourselves, so all the magics. It's a very good bunch in a way.
That was actually another question. Now that you mentioned dream, that it's a dream, how are dreams related to meditation and vice versa? How does that relate to each other?
The Buddha has mentioned there are four reasons for the dreaming. One thing is your internal chemicals. Second thing is that your habitual things. The third thing is sometimes some unknown celestial beings come and making use of your mind to give messages. And sometimes they give the messages of the future, what is going to happen. So this incident is because Buddha wanted to tell you, if your internal four elements, if it is not in a balance, definitely it is going to manifest in the dream in different states. That is what he wanted to emphasize. But he says, dreams are due to this, your likings and dislikes, or your rut, your habits. And the other thing is, celestial beings come and put different things. So therefore, whenever you are going to meditate, you are going to have a sleep without dreams. That is why the Buddha says, if you do metta bhavana, if you do anapanasati, you have a very profound sleeping, no disturbance from the dreams. So therefore, whenever you are going to have a dream and going to interpret it, is dream is mad, interpreting is double mad. You are entertaining the past, something wrong. And it's completely in try to find a ladder to the sky. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I also have one question about
moral thinking. Since you said that we should not introduce meditation to people only when the person is ready, then they understand. How about being in a society together with others? It's not our responsibility to raise the awareness, at least morally sound or moral thinking, or should we just let it go because that's the way the world is? You can't control the world anyway. But that would be like, I'm not doing any productivity or doing something good for life. So what am I doing now? I understand you probably answer that for helping me. Just another thought.
That of course, there are many, many ways of communicating people. You can tell them, you can tell the advantages and disadvantages of the moral life and immoral life. I mean, it is, you can say as a teacher, the best way of teaching is you have to be a moral, that will be a silencer. If you be without be moral, you are going to give a lectures about morality, it's the biggest joke. Nowadays, all the people talking about the moral, only be moral in the daytime. Not in the night. So when the people are going to see what they are talking, Dhaval Mityasaya Daniel in the single says, you appear like a Mitchell in the daytime and the night as a Daniel. That is the way moralists start. That is the way moralists start. That is why the Buddha says, mind your business. Lead a moral life, so you are very happy, very contented, very easy. Any person can feel the vibrations. But if someone is asking, you appear to be very moderate, you are living in a normal life, and how do? Then you have to say, this is at the beginning, I did this kind of thing, I came to know the consequences, so I saw this whole coming. And then you are talking with your own, listening due to the invitation, and then it's a direct communication. Otherwise you are going to bring the world into the morality, indicate you are immoral. It's an indication of an immoral, unsatisfied mind. Then they are not talking about that. What is the rights for me to prescribe morality for you if I am not moral? Who the person can say we are 100% moral? We can share. If you are asking me, I can tell you, I can share what I know, but I have no superiority to impose upon that as far as the morality, even for the mindfulness. So morality, it is not under anyone's authority. All the religious leaders going to take the moral powers, they are the rogues behind rogues. And they are the ones going to tell the people. And they know what the jokes they are cracking. So instead, live up to yourself, share with other people out of compassion, then don't think even once you become moral, you have one step ahead. No. You have to read this, the Buddha says that out of all, if I am going to assume, I am the moral person, I am better than you, and you are inferior, Buddha says you are ignoble. You are taking the morality as a one-upmanship. And your knowledge, your money, only thing, if you are going to put the discrimination with the other human being, it's a crime. You have to understand, we are in the same pool. Ups and downs there is occasionally and sometimes, but we are not in the permanent state. So therefore, morality is a moralist. There are more specifically in the religious circles. Very dangerous. Very dangerous, I am telling you. The people when you are honest and doing crimes, and they are humble. They know we are doing and never mind. But going to show that act like moralist, very, very dangerous. These people I have allergy for that kind of thing. I never associate that kind. And I never get them as enemies also because it is dangerous. Don't let them know that you are dissociating with them. But try your best to cut off. And read all the religious masters. They have given enough examples not to get caught up in that. They have given their own lifelong example with the good vibrations, not by lectures. Lectures are good if someone is asking. Okay, we have taken 1.5 hours, so again we will be meeting here at, we are supposed to take only 1 hour, already have 1.5, so 30 minutes walking meditation and 3:30 we will be back here for a sitting.